Chapter 29. Lauren Smith rose from behind her desk and held out her hand as Frederick Daggett was ushered into her office. He smiled his best politician smile.
"I hope you'll forgive my intrusion, Congresswoman."
Lauren grasped his hand firmly. It never failed to amuse her to see a man stumble over her title. They never seemed to get the hang of saying Congresswoman. "I'm happy for the interruption," she said, motioning him toward a chair. To his surprise, she held out a box of cigars. He took one.
"This is indeed a treat. I hardly expected. Do you mind if I light up?"
"Please do," she said, smiling. "I grant that it looks a bit incongruous for a woman to pass out cigars, but the practical value becomes apparent when you consider that my male visitors outnumber the females by 20-1. Daggett expelled a large blue cloud toward the ceiling and fired his first broadside.
"You voted against my initial proposal to budget aid to the African Army of Revolution."
Lauren nodded. She didn't speak, for she was waiting for Daggett to make his full pitch.
"The white government of South Africa is on the verge of self-destruction. The nation's economy has plummeted in the last few years. Its treasury is exhausted. The white minority have cruelly and ruthlessly treated the black majority as slaves far too long. For 10 years in the time since blacks took over the government in Rhodesia, Afrikaners have become hardened and completely merciless in their dealings with their Bantu citizens. Internal riots have taken over 5,000 lives. This bloodbath must not continue any longer. Irom Lusana's AAR is the only hope for peace. We must support it, both financially and militarily."
"I was under the impression that Irom Lusana was a communist." Daggett shook his head.
"I'm afraid you labor under a misapprehension, Congresswoman Smith. I admit that Lusana allows the use of Vietnamese military advisers, but I can personally assure you that he is not and never has been a pawn of international communism."
"I'm glad to hear that." Lauren's voice was toneless. In her mind, Daggett was trying to sell a bill of goods, and she was determined not to buy.
"Irom Lusana is a man of high ideals," Daggett continued. "He does not permit the slaughter of innocent women and children. He does not condone indiscriminate bloodthirsty attacks on cities and villages, as do the other insurgent movements. His war is aimed strictly against government installations and military targets. I, for one, feel that Congress should back the leader who conducts his affairs with virtuous rationality."
"Come down off the cross, Congressman. You know it, and I know it. Irom Lusana is a rip-off artist. I've examined his FBI file. It reads like a biography of a mafia hitman. Lusana spent half his life in prison for every crime from rape to assault, not to mention draft dodging and a plot to bomb the state capital of Alabama. After an extremely lucrative armored car robbery, he went into the dope-peddling business and made a fortune. Then he skipped the country to beat paying taxes. I think you'll agree he's not exactly an all-American hero."
"He was never legally charged with the armored car holdup."
Lauren shrugged. "Okay, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one. But his other crimes hardly qualify him to lead a holy crusade to free the downtrodden masses."
"What's history is history," Daggett said, pressing on. "Regardless of his shady past, Lusana is still our only hope of providing a stable government after the blacks take over the South African Parliament. You cannot deny that it is in the best interests of Americans to claim him as a friend."
"Why back any side?"
Daggett's eyebrow shot up. "Do I detect a leaning toward isolationism?"
"Look what it got us in Rhodesia," continued Lauren. "Within a few months after our former Secretary of State's ingenious plan to transfer white minority rule to the black majority took effect, civil war broke out between the radical splinter factions and set the country's progress back 10 years. Can you promise that we won't see a repeat performance when South Africa bows to the inevitable?"
Daggett did not like being forced into a corner by a woman, any woman. He came out of his chair and leaned across Lauren's desk. "If you do not throw your support to my proposal and the bill for aid which I intend to submit to the House, then, dear Congresswoman Smith, I fear you will be digging a grave so big and so deep
for your political career that you may never get out in time for the next election. To Daggett's amazement and anger, Lauren broke out in laughter.
Good God, this is rich. Are you actually threatening me?
Fail to come out in favor of African nationalism, and I can promise you the loss of every black vote in your district.
I don't believe this.
You'd better, because you will also see rioting like you've never seen before in this country if we don't stand solidly behind Hiram Lusana and the African Army of Revolution.
Where do you get your information? Lauren demanded.
I'm black and I know.
You're also full of shit, Lauren said. I've conferred with hundreds of blacks in my district. They're no different from any other American citizen. Each is concerned with high taxes, the rising costs of groceries and energy, the same as whites, Orientals, Indians, and Chicanos. You're only kidding yourself, Daggett, if you think our blacks give a damn about how African blacks mess up their countries. They don't, and for the simple reason that Africans don't give a damn about them.
You are making a sad error.
No, it is you who is making the error, snapped Lauren. You are stirring up trouble where it need not exist. The black race will find equal opportunity through education just like everyone else. The Nisei did it after World War II. When they returned from the internment camps, they worked in the Southern California fields to send their sons and daughters through UCLA and USC to become attorneys and doctors. They arrived. Now it's the blacks' turn. And they'll do it too, provided they're not hindered by men like you, who rabble-rouse at every opportunity. Now I'll thank you to get the hell out of my office.
Daggett stared at her, his face a mask of anger. Then his lips cracked slowly into a grin. He held the cigar at arm's length and let it drop onto the carpet. Then he turned and stormed from the office.
You look like a boy who just had his bicycle stolen, said Felicia Collins. She was sitting in one corner of Daggett's limousine, filing her long nails.
Daggett slid in beside her and motioned for the driver to move on. He stared stonily ahead, his face blank. Felicia slipped the emery board back in her purse and waited, her eyes apprehensive. Finally, she broke the silence.
I take it Lauren Smith turned you down.
A foul-mouthed white bitch, he said, almost spat. She thinks she can treat me like some nigger stud on a pre-Civil War plantation.
What on earth are you talking about? She asked, surprised. I know Lauren Smith. She hasn't got a prejudiced bone in her body.
Daggett turned. You know her?
Lauren and I were high school classmates. We still get together from time to time. A hardness came over Felicia's face that had not been there before. You have something evil on your crafty mind, Frederick. What is it?
I've got to have Congresswoman Smith's support if I am to push through my bill to send arms and aid to the AAR.
Would you like me to talk to Lauren, lobby on Hiram's behalf?
That and more. She tried to read his thoughts.
More?
I want you to get something on her, something I can use to twist her to our way of thinking.
Felicia stared at him, stunned. Blackmail Lauren? You don't know what you're asking. I can't spy on a good friend. No way.
Your choice is clear. A girlish school friendship in exchange for the freedom of millions of our brothers and sisters who are enslaved by a tyrannical government.
And if I can't dig any dirt? Felicia said, searching for an out. It's no secret her political career is unblemished.
Nobody is perfect.
What would I look for?
Lauren Smith is an attractive single woman. She must have a sex life.
What if she does, Felicia argued. Every single girl has her share of love affairs. And as long as she has no husband, you can't manufacture a scandal out of adultery.
Daggett smiled. How astute of you. We shall do exactly that. Manufacture a scandal.
Lauren deserves better.
If she throws her support to our cause, she needn't worry about her secrets going public.
Felicia bit her lip. No, I will not stab a friend in the back. Besides, Hiram would never pardon such a malignity.
Daggett refused to play her game.
Indeed?
You may have slept with the Savior of Africa, but I doubt if you ever truly read the man beneath the skin. Look up his past sometime. Hiram Lusana makes Al Capone and Jesse James look like sissies. It gets thrown in my face every time I stand up for him. Then Daggett's eyes narrowed. Aren't you forgetting how he literally sold you to me?
I haven't forgotten.
Felicia turned away and stared out the window. Daggett squeezed her hand. Don't worry, he said, smiling. Nothing will happen that will leave any scars. She raised his hand and kissed it, but she didn't believe his words, not for an instant.